Tappy Sports. It's that strange period between the end of the cricket season and the start of the rugby league, rugby union, and what is it, AFL, at least in Australia. But obviously the Premier League continues, so joining me once again is...
I like the suggestion that you're just sort of hanging out for the start of the rugby season.
Yeah.
No. How are the Tars going?
The Super 10?
Yeah.
Let's ask AJ what his thoughts are on the Tars chances this year.
Yeah. Yep.
But Aaron, how are you? How are things in New York City? Is it snowing? Like what's going on?
Yeah, we got couple of inches overnight, and now it's all disappeared or turned to slush. So that's been good. Obviously, a big Super Bowl hangover here in America. People still riding that post Super Bowl high. You know, Tay Tay jumping up and down with Blake Lively and Jason Kelsey in the crowd, and Travis Kelsey, you know, performing elder abuse on his coach. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, he's got a gut now, and it hasn't affected his ability to sort of throw a little forward pass. The best thing was Breno commenting. Because Breno, who is, you know, a very good friend of yours, happens to be a guy that was in the same year as me at school. But you're very close to him. You played a lot of cricket with him and have forged a real sort of cultural alliance with him over the years. And he was, he's in Pete Phillips's fantasy, you know, NFL fantasy group, right. Fantasy league, whatever it's called. And I am as well. And I don't really... obviously, why? Care about it or pay attention or try
many,
to win.
How,
or anything
how many like WhatsApp groups are you in where you do not participate at all?
I participate in most of the WhatsApp groups I'm in, but this one I don't really say a lot because it's like a bunch of, you know, guys that I think Phipps is taught with. So, and quite a few of them seem, let's say, like not the smartest guys on the planet. And then it's like, you know, Breno and Bill Lloyd and people like that. And Breno's has really sort of tried to get into it and take it seriously. And he sort of really, you know, tried to figure out how to play fantasy football properly. And, you know, sort of took the draft seriously. And he got Mahomes in the draft, which is obviously a bit of a coup and, you know, a player who's going to score a lot of points every week and all that kind of stuff. He was drunk watching one of the matches the other night, and he messaged me and Phipps, and he's like, yeah, it's this NFL thing. It's like massive gaps that you can run into. It's like, it's like a really bad sort of NRL side. just big gaps opening up, and you just sort of throw little forward passes into them. And it's like, and people get so excited when the quarterback sort of runs with the ball instead of throwing it. It's like, obvious, isn't it? I mean, Breno's figured it all out, is the point.
That's what you do when you're a gin entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. Ginpreneur. But yeah,
that's good. I mean, this whole Swift and Kelso combination, you know, which sort of sounds like a bad corporate advisory firm from the early 2000s.
And your friend Tom Clute has obviously, you know, done his bit to fuel that romance and to provide a boost to Travis Kelce's profile with his famous 2022 profile of Travis Kelce for Vanity Fair, which involved him just sort of going and meeting him at a cafe and then sort of taking photographs of him in lots of stupid outfits. But yes,
that was like a 10,000-word profile. I just felt like it went on forever. I mean, obviously, that wasn't really interested in Travis Kelce. Kelso.
Yeah,
I think Kelso.
It was good. It was a good piece of journalism. I want to be clear. It's just that, you know, it has that you know, that Vanity Fair thing of it's also a fashion show, of course. Yeah. But you disapprove of their romance, or you think it's fake? You think it's fake? You're on the MAGA crew. You think that Kelsey's gay, and so is Taylor Swift. They're each other's beard.
Yeah, just like, you know, Bob and Helena Carr. Who's the other one? That's
Paul
always
and Anita Keating. Paul and Anita Keating.
what's his name? Hugh Jackman, Deborah Lee Furness, Tom Cruise, and Nicole Kidman, whoever, and whatnot. Just another in a long line of excellent repressed homosexuals. I mean, do I disapprove? I wouldn't say that I disapprove, but let's be honest. Taylor Swift was more interesting when she was going out with Calvin Harris. At least, at least when she was, or and obviously she would have been significantly cooler if the rumors about her and Fernando Alonso were true. And what was good about that particular Alonso moment was that he really milked it for all it was worth, right? Like, I mean, God knows if it actually was true, but like
classic milker.
But those silly sort of reels that he would post when he was just sort of sitting, you know, sitting in the garage at Monaco listening to a Taylor Swift song, and you know, it was sort of archly raise one eyebrow, was quite funny.
You've followed his career quite closely on social media, haven't you?
Yeah, big Alonso. But so Kelso is like
he's like sort of just a big old boy, isn't he? He's a big old sort of, you know, just real American.
Yeah, I mean, and his Viva Las Vegas chanting was, well, obviously it's blown up on social media, but I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you watch it. It's just, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
How would you grade it on a scale of 1 to Travis Head?
Travis Head being, you know, like the king of cool.
Travis Head being the superlative when it comes to celebrations after a big victory.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer that question. But why not just embrace the Breno analysis of NFL? I mean, all he does is just catch the ball. And it seems like, you know, catch the ball, go on a little run, and then get sort of, you know, sideswiped kind of over the sideline. I mean, you know, he just gets shoulder charged, and then it's like, I gained 10 minutes.
Big whoop.
You know, and catching the ball seems sort of confoundingly difficult in NFL. I'm like, is it actually that hard to catch the ball? They've all got like gloves on as well.
Yeah. So, it can't be that hard. I mean, I know it's coming quickly, but like, that's
it's coming
job.
Quickly. It's smaller than a rugby, of course, than a rugby ball, but a rugby league ball. Yeah. So it's traveling faster. Generally, I suppose, you know, they're not passing it back, so whatever. But I mean, you've handled some passes in his time.
I've handled some passes in my time. I mean, you know, put it, it's not like fielding. He's no Cameron Green in the slip cord, nor Cameron Green.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
I mean, those balls are coming much faster. The reaction times are much shorter. Okay, sure. You're not running, and you're not about to be poleaxed by some, you know, the rickshaw greyhound or whatever his name is.
I mean, would you say that there is an argument actually to turn the NRL season opener in Vegas, which will of course take place at Allegiant Stadium, where the Super Bowl was held, into actually just an exhibition of Australian hand-eye coordination with Cameron Green sort of doing slips catching at halftime, and maybe throw in a bit of
Jared Hayne waiting.
Jared Hayne doing some sexual assault on the sidelines. You can't make jokes about rape. But edit that out. Edit that out. No, it's fine. What else is Australia good at? AFL. Losing the Asian Cup. Or, the AFL. Yeah, Phil, I'd love to see Buddy Franklin just line up
Do some
kind of
kicks.
line up a kick and just kick it a long way into the crowd or whatever. That'd be cool to see.
It's
Just
like,
so Americans can actually understand what, it actually means to be, a ball carrying athlete
yeah.
in today's world. None of this, fumble the ball when it's thrown at you from 5 meters away or,
No.
like just sort of,
Incomplete.
yeah, just the incomplete, the flag or the horse collar, or there were all sorts of other things that were happening in the Super Bowl. Anyway, this is a great discussion because we've turned into the cliche of the Australians who are like, it's like sort of just kind of coming up to the Super Bowl. This used to happen a lot when I worked at the Herald, because they obviously had big TV, and so people would sort of just
Stand around.
walk past this. No, they sort of walk past the Super Bowl, and they're like, oh, what's the score? Yeah, nothing going on. All right, good sport, good sport. And then just sort of walk away. It was sort of just very fashionable in the Sydney Morning Herald newsroom of the 2000s to denigrate the sport of
Yeah.
American football. Now you've obviously gained a much deeper appreciation of it, having made several trips to New York specifically to watch football over the years. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I mean, but the extent of my exposure to NFL consists of the Hat Tails video series that Joe Hughes persists on doing on Instagram, where I mean, he's one of the few Australians I know who has genuinely embraced NFL and did so many, many years ago, despite the fact
Yeah.
that no one else or none of his friends sort of shares the same
Right.
enthusiasm.
Right.
But I applaud his commitment to changing hats every kind of couple of days and doing a silly video about it.
Right. Yeah.
I
What so
mean,
what's on the videos though? What does he say? What's he talking about?
he just talks about the hat that he's wearing. He's a San Diego Chargers fan. I mean, he'd probably love to come on
Okay.
as a guest.
Yeah. Yeah.
We sort of line him up after Wayne Arthur's comes
Yeah,
on.
let's get that on the calendar for 1Q25. It's and so would you say that it's to use an expression that some people in the in one of the group chats I'm in love to use, would you say that it's good gear? Is it good gear?
Look, I mean,
Is
Joe.
it material that you look forward to and replay and
It has a
enjoy
certain
over and over again?
charm. Has a certain
Yeah.
charm.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be Instagram without without Joe Hughes and his hat tails.
Yeah.
So look,
I mean, I will say this about the Super Bowl is there is no other event, no other sort of single sporting event that actually kind of captures a whole nation the way that the Super Bowl does with America. Because I mean there are so many other, like you think about
Melbourne's Cup.
Australia. Well, yeah, I mean, who cares about that? It's just stupid little horses running around getting beaten up by little blokes sitting on them,
Whips.
I mean you've got the grand finals, but of course there are several of them and it gets very confusing. And some of us, of course, devote all our allegiance towards the A-League grand final, and so we don't have
Exactly.
any time, we don't have any space left in our hearts for the NRL grand final or the AFL grand final. And then you've got cricket and all that kind of stuff. The thing with the Super Bowl, of course, is that it's the single game that decides the whole winner. And America doesn't have any other of those. They've got World Series, which goes over several games, the NBA Finals,
Basketball.
obviously best of seven as well.
Stanley Cup.
NHL, who cares about the Stanley Cup? But or MLS maybe have something, but who's paying attention to that? You got this whole thing. It becomes this. Obviously, I'm not saying anything new or particularly interesting here, but it does become this celebration of America, and they love to play that aspect of the game up, and that's why it's great. I mean, I have made a tradition now of making or having made for me. Nachos on Super Bowl Sunday. So this year it was the nachos with a pork neck that was braised in a lot of citrus and some warm spices, cumin, things like that, garlic, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then pulled, and then obviously homemade nacho cheese, and the pulled pork neck on the beautiful tortilla chips. Have you ever eaten nachos before? I'm explaining to you how they're put together. The beautiful tortilla chips, pulled pork, the nacho cheese, the black olives, the traditional black olives, the pinto beans, and then of course a bit of jalapeno and some pickled red onion and some cilantro, what you would call coriander. So and you put all that together and you eat it, and then you watch the Super Bowl.
Why is the cuisine of the Super Bowl this sort of Tex-Mex kind of thing?
Well, because it's a celebration of America. I mean, it's usually like nachos. Wings, of course, are also big. But I just really like nachos, and this is the only day of the year when I eat them. And it's just special, and it makes you proud to be an American.
Well, that's good. I think just coming back to Taylor Swift for a second.
Yeah. Come back to the real topic that we want to talk about.
I just thinking of Taylor Swift. So there was I was in the office last week, and there's a four year lawyer in the team and a grad, and they were having this very heated discussion that almost came to blows over whether Taylor Swift was better than Beyonce, or who was better.
Wow, it's not really even a competition, is it?
Well, the 4 year was very much in the Beyonce corner, and she's
agree with the 4 year.
Obviously, any kind of right thinking person thinks with the 4 year. And the 4 year, well, she's 29 or 30 or something like that. And the grad is obviously, you know, grad age. What's that?
24, yeah, 25. Yeah.
And like the only thing, the grad was getting so worked up about, you know, about Beyonce, and sort of saying how wonderful Taylor Swift is. Like, it eventually came to a point where the grad said to the 4 year, "You don't understand Taylor Swift songs because you're too old."
Whoa!
So I walked out, and I was like, "Guys, anyone listen to The Strokes recently? You know, what about Pomo?"
old man Timsy came in and saved the day with that sparkling wit, that twinkle in the eye. He diffused the situation. And it does raise the question of how many Taylor Swift songs you actually know. What's your favorite Taylor Swift song, Damien? Shake it off, shake it off. I think that's the only Taylor Swift song I know. And just from having absorbed sort of, you know, like moment snatches of some of her other work, it basically all sounds like that. So
yeah.
don't really understand. Just don't get it, mate. I don't get it. What's up with that, Taylor Swift? What are people like that? NFL, what are people like that? What's up with that? Anyway, so that was it was all good. Great game. Mahomes well on his way to
MVP.
You know, matching Tom Brady's Super Bowl haul.
Is he though? Yeah, what? Very, how many has he won? Stuff. Like two?
He's won three or four. Three or four. He won one in 2020, and then last year, and then this year, and I think maybe one other, maybe just three though. Tom Brady won what, eight?
Yeah, I mean Brady. No one's going to beat Brady. No one's
Super Bowl wins. Tom Brady Super Bowl wins. Just quickly googling that.
Mahomes. You know, I mean, because you said he's got the gut. He's like he doesn't have the discipline to sort of turn vegan at 40 and whatnot and sort of prolong his career. Like, he just wants to settle into, he's more of a Ronaldo kind of figure. He just wants to be fat as soon as he's retired.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely, well, I mean, there was all that conversation before the game about how he's got a beer gut now. And he's been criticized a lot during the regular season for being a bit of a fatty. But, I mean, yeah, the whole point of this, the beauty of, NFL is that you get like some massive fats in there, more than in rugby league or rugby union. Like there are some genuine, just like big fat guys. There's no expectation that they're going to be in any way athletic. They're just sort of getting in the way. And that's, you know, you could make an argument that that's probably what makes it the greatest sport. But you know, cricket also has its fair share of fatties, and one of them, of course, was the star batsman or batter, sorry, gender non-specific language for Australia, the Australian under 19 team,
yeah,
the World Cup final, where we once again handed India a defeat, despite the fact that they'd been the dominant team throughout the tournament. So they choked again. India really sort of living up to its reputation as the latter day South Africa of cricket. He's a bit of a fatty. Anyway, that was the point I wanted to make.
It wasn't just that India choked. I mean, they were basically thrashed by Australia. I mean, that's
they were comprehensively thrashed. It was a bit like the men's, the under 40s World Cup, I suppose we'd call it. How good is the under 40s World Cup? How good is the over 35s football World Cup going to be?
I mean, this is where tennis is probably most forward thinking because they obviously had, well, they've got the Masters Tour, or at least the Masters Games, which obviously just consists of, what's his name, that Romanian guy just doing his silly trick shots and whatnot. But obviously, there clearly is Stasi. Yeah, that's right. But there clearly is a market for people wanting to watch, you know, watch Beckham, watch Ronaldo, watch Ronaldinho, watch Zidane. I mean, obviously, all of these guys are not actually going to sort of turn out for like an over 35s competition. But I think it's a great idea.
They've got Henri's been confirmed as the French captain. And Desailly's playing as well, and
it's going to be great.
They've signed up a bunch of like good players.
Yeah,
it could be good. I mean, I guess there's a question of whether it's going to be played sort of in the style of one of those tennis tournaments, kind of in the what I would describe as the Paul Fatty Wharton style, which is kind of just sort of, you know, running around with the Benny Hill music on and being an idiot about it, or whether they're actually going to kind of take it semi-seriously.
Relatively seriously, yeah.
You know, so that will be interesting to see. But, I mean, it's a golden age, really, for sort of alternative exhibitions of sport. I mean, we're now looking forward to the Roy Olympics, the juiced up games, or the enhanced games, or whatever they're being called.
Yeah. Well, this was a joke. This was a joke that we, you know, used to make what 10 years ago, or whatever. Like, so why bother with the Olympics? Like, just let them have at it and see what you can do. Well, and now some schmuck has decided that that's probably not a bad idea. In fact, he probably went back and listened to one of the Tippy Tappy podcasts, and that's where he got the idea.
Yeah. We should be credited with the idea. Right. Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, we've been talking for many years in kind of an Arsene Wenger voice about financial doping, and now we have actual doping, which is going to take place in these sports and be sanctioned and you know, approved and confirmed as a regular part of athletic competition. I think it's good. I'm looking forward to it, and I think we have a bit of a difference of opinion when it comes to. You know, James Magnusson's, is that his first name, James? James Magnusson's, the missile Magnusson's participation, because he was interviewed the other day and he said, you know, there are three reasons I'm doing it. The first is cash. The second is cash. And the third is cash. And he basically said, you know, I only care about the money. And, you know, it's a way for older athletes to prolong their careers. I mean, he's only sort of 32. He looks ancient, of course, because, you know, he's been swimming all his life.
Chlorine's just wasted his skin away.
Yeah, the chlorine and the combination of chlorine and Anglo skin and, you know, sort of ivermectin or horse tranquilizer or whatever he's going to be taking when he gets into the pool is going to produce, I think, pretty spectacular results. I just appreciated the fact that he was like, well, yeah, I'm just doing it for the money, and also Like, why shouldn't we just see what you can do once you're able to juice up to the eyeballs? You know, like, I mean, yeah. it could be really good. Yeah, it could be really good.
I mean, it could bring, you know, I mean, what Ben Johnson ran 9.79 in the 88 yeah. Olympics.
Yeah.
And what it took, what's his name, Usain Bolt, 30 years or whatever to break that record. Obviously, he didn't have the yellow eyeballs in the way that Ben Johnson did, which is why I'll be watching the enhanced games, just to see what other colors we can get.
Yes, just watching it for the eyeballs. It's good how sort of primitive the tells used to be of drug use. But that'd be good. I mean,
it was pretty obvious for the Chinese swimmers. I mean, you know, the women.
Yeah, they were quite robust, weren't they? But I mean, who else would you like to see compete at the juiced games? You know, it could be good to get. I mean, Lance Armstrong would be great.
Well, he treated the Tour de France as the juiced game.
Yeah,
yeah. I've actually lost it.
You know, who else out of the world of cycling? Maybe exhume Marco Pantani. Get him on a bike again.
Yeah. Well, juiced what about up. Like an over 35s juiced game? So you get like Miguel Indurain, get, you know,
Claudio Chiappucci.
get Phil Rogers, like, you know, get Greg LeMond.
Yeah. Jan Ulrich. Jan Ulrich. I mean, he's a classic mm-hmm. juicer. I think Ulrich's still alive. Yeah. Pantani's the one who died. But
Pantani was the one who was in the hotel room, just kind of there with the vials and then passed out.
Yeah. Well, actually, what the Tour de France should do is stage it normally, but only allow the French riders to juice up. That way, they could finally get, you know, a winner of the Tour de France for the first time in 50 years or whatever it's been. So that could be good.
Coming back to Magnussen for a second, isn't it ultimately kind of sad that there's this guy who, you know, who was sort of everywhere when he was competing. I mean, I can't remember.
Yeah, 2016.
Was it 2016 as late as that?
Yeah, I think 2016 was when he was supposed to win, right?
But he didn't, like, he kind of blew it or whatever.
But it was just a classic sort of, he's got the world record, you know, and then it gets to the Olympics and he sort of
can't do it.
He's still over and he only got a silver medal. That's not good enough, mate.
But you sort of end up with these, with all those, but all those swimmers, like the Jody Henry and Steph Rice has now sort of moved to Dubai and converted to some sort of odd, strange form of Christianity. So, I mean, they all go a bit sort of weird. So ultimately it's sad that someone like Magnussen just kind of needs to, get back in the pool, because that's all that he's kind of done, and he hasn't been able to. I actually thought he would have been some kind of media personality, but maybe he actually doesn't have.
Well, there's not just not enough media around swimming, is there? I mean, you know, what you sort of you kind of get trotted out once every 4 years or.
Every 2 years, then you can
every two
pan
years.
Packs,
pan yeah, packs. Pan packs, pan packs, yeah, pan packs. What about Michael Klim? He's probably on the straight and narrow. He's probably like, what do you think, real estate agent at this point?
No, it wasn't Klim. Didn't Klim go bankrupt? I mean, what Jeff Hugel got fat, and then he got thin again.
Hugel got on the Ozempic. The Ozempic Olympics. The Ozempic Olympics would be great, actually. The Ozempics.
So you have a weigh-in at the start, and then what? You have to lose weight, or you, it's just something?
And then you sort of have a sort of fasting period of 2 weeks after the weigh-in, and you just become emaciated, and then you get in the pool and try to swim 100 meters very quickly. That would be really go.
Yeah, sorry, Scott just got cut off there.
fix that up in post.
Oh, yeah.
That was. No, we were talking about Ozempic. pick. I mean, I was thinking actually during the break in play that it would actually be good to get Ozempic in as a sponsor for the over 35 World Cup, because then, of course, we'd be able to get Ronaldo involved. I think otherwise, you'd probably die if you was to play a competitive football, a semi-competitive football match against the likes of Thierry Henry and various other players who are obviously still in very good shape.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, Henry's had to stay in because he's got the media career. Ronaldo is just there eating his barbecue, drinking his caperini.
I mean, he is the best character, I think.
He's the greatest player.
He's the greatest player, and then also just his post-playing career, where he's just like, I'm going to be a sort of jolly fatty walking around, talking about how happy I am to be a sort of celebrity. I mean, that's a model of how life should be lived.
Yeah, I mean, but it's good that obviously, you know, towards the end of his playing days, he started going fat, but he was still banging in the goals, and he loves those anecdotes of like him saying to the coach, like, do you want me to run or do you want me to score goals? So, I mean, he can just sort of stand there at the top of the field in his oversized shirt, and I'm sure he'll, it's not like his moves have gone away or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, he's still got that touch. Yeah. Or phenomenal. They should actually probably scrap the. They should allow a Ozempic. They should allow steroids.
Cialis.
And Cialis, and they should scrap the offside rule. I mean, they should just have Ronaldo stationed down one end of the field, and then sort of launch some long balls from Roberto Carlos or whatever, and you know. Sort of latches onto them without any defenders to beat. That would be wonderful. But
it would be good to watch. We should obviously just sort of touch on the cricket, because cricket's our natural home. We didn't actually speak about the West Indies, like this the appalling one day series that has recently been completed. Which, you know, was probably only remarkable for Glenn Maxwell's innings in the T20, you know, where Maxwell is sort of tending to be a Ronaldo sort of like figure, in that, you know, he is. I mean, we've said this before. He's a bit of a loose cannon, but like, it's certainly in the last 12 months, he's now sort of actually managed to perform in games where it counts. But what is I don't know how you feel about this, Timsy, but what I do find a little bit grating is when he. Now, he scores the century off his 13th delivery or whatever it is, and then does the celebration by way of the outstretched arms, you know, which is, you know, most recently been taken up by Jude Bellingham.
Yeah.
And it's like, listen, Glenn, you know, it's one thing if you're doing it in front of 80,000 people at the, you know, Santiago Bernabeu, but if you're doing it in front of 13,000 people at Manuka Oval, it's a bit pathetic. You're not Christ the Redeemer. just call you.
Yeah, no, it's I didn't actually see celebration. So what does he do? But he does it. It's not like he's going up to the crowd. I mean, the whole point when you do it as a footballer is you're going up to salute the crowd, and you're like really close to the sort of lower tier of the stadium. So what he just does it in the middle of the ground, and then points his bat down, and then does it in the middle of the ground, then picks his bat up, and then does the little wave of the bat towards the dressing room.
Yeah, but basically, I mean, it's all just a bit. It's all just a bit low rent.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I think, you know, it's what is a good celebration for a batter in cricket? I mean, the Warner celebration, the sort of jump and punch was, I think, quite effective because,
I mean,
you know, I think it's quite effective as a celebration. The
the Khawaja LeBron James stomp is pretty good.
That's not bad, but I mean, it's like, it's
derivative.
It's derivative. It's just impersonating some other guy.
I mean, it's still good. It's still good.
It's okay. It's okay. I think it's difficult to actually have a good celebration as a batter in cricket. I mean, Steve Smith just does the little wave of the bat.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't expect him to have a good celebration, of course. But what does Travis Head do? Sort of just look sweaty and sort of hold the bat aloft, and that's about it.
Yeah, and I think doesn't he just do an aggressive point of the bat towards the
chamber? Yeah, which I think is probably, you know, about the limit of what you can do, because you're holding the implement, right?
Yeah.
And if you drop it, it seems like a little bit like you're trying too hard. I think it's obviously a lot easier for bowlers. I mean, I did really like Shamar Joseph's thing of just running the whole length of the pitch, also the whole length of the field. I actually thought when he was going into that run, when he sort of did it the first time, I was like, oh, he's going to do a Cristiano. He's going to give us a see. but he didn't. He just kind of like ran and then stopped, which was pretty good. But it's disappointing to see that Maxi hasn't come up with a better celebration. I think that's something we need to get on the horn to him about, and hope that he can do a better job next time. But I mean, I would say he does appear to actually play better when he's kind of kind of come off some sort of drunken fall. I think it actually is good for his game, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, it does certainly augurs well for the over 35 World Cup.
Yeah. He'll be a beloved fixture at that tournament. But when it comes to the world of cricket, that would actually be a good tournament in cricket. Like, think about sports where, you know, the quality of the player is still pretty good, even though, you know, they're in their 40s. Like, cricket would have to be up there. I mean, tennis is not the same because they can't, like, run as quickly.
They don't hit as hard.
You know.
I mean, they're still obviously very good. I mean, you watch the recent footage of Andre Agassi kind of hitting. I mean, he's a little fatty, but it's not like he's forgotten how to hit a forehand or anything like that.
That's a good point. So the cricket was good, and what we won the series, I wasn't really paying attention, to be honest.
Oh, we won the. I mean, it was a whitewash. The West Indies. We're actually pathetic. Like, it wasn't even worth tuning into.
Well, they won the final T20 overnight, didn't they? The West Indies.
Oh, did they? I actually stopped paying attention.
Yeah, they did. They did actually. So
what?
Bit of breaking news for you there, Damien.
Well, and then they're off to New Zealand, or the Australian team's off to New Zealand for like a two.
Yeah, New Zealand's going to be fresh off thrashing the South Africa D team.
Yeah.
Although it looks like they're in a bit of trouble, actually. The Black Caps in their first innings of the second test. That should be pretty good, and excited about that. Asian Cup, of course, big talking point on this podcast. Big one. That's over. AFCON done. We've got.
I mean, the final. The final was. It was almost. I mean, I tried watching it. It wasn't like it was a great game or anything like that. I mean, obviously the finals are always a bit tense, but is it ridiculous that Qatar wins the Asian Cup? I mean,
I think so.
Sounds ridiculous.
Qatar and Jordan. I mean, didn't we thrash Jordan recently?
Trounced
them, humiliated them. It's surprising they even bothered to show up to the Asian Cup after what we did to them. I mean, that sort of. It does suck, but I mean, you know, it does seem a little bit rigged, if we're being honest with ourselves, because, South Africa, South Korea, Japan, Iran, Australia, all kind of knocked out during either the round of the quarterfinals or the semis. Yeah. That's pretty much the cream of Asia.
Just accounted for.
I mean, obviously, Australia still should have made it through the semis and probably would have, if they'd done that, I think they would have beaten Jordan and beaten Qatar, and we would have been talking about Graeme Arnold as the greatest Australian coach of all time.
Well, and that's right. And, you know, and it wouldn't be unjustified. But, you know, if Mitch Duke can't The bloke, anyway, we spoke about Mitch Chick last time. The bloke hasn't gotten any better since the last episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, no, that's true. And he won't get better by the next episode.
No, but we will. We will.
Good ending.
That's good. Well, let's speak again after we've had the NRL in Vegas, because that's going to be there'll be some huge talking points there.
Let's pick this up again then. Let's pick it up. Right. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.